The Lord be with you.
Also with
you. Welcome to the Lord's house on the second Sunday after Pentecost. Today we learn from a possessed man something about demons and Jesus and you. We also have to bid farewell to seminarian Eric Van Dievender today. He'll be returning to the Northwest to continue service to our Lord in church and society. Will be a reception immediately after the service in his honor today. So you want to stay and not only say farewell to him, but also enjoy some cake and punch. Thank you for your service to us over the last almost 3 years. We deeply appreciate it. Yeah? We also have today the Joy to the World thank offering. It will be received as a door offering following the service today. This supports the mission and mercy work of our synod, both in the United States and around the world. It's gathered every 3 years in conjunction with our synod convention. And that synod convention is coming up. In fact, Leslie Ceramic is our circuit lay delegate to that convention. Pastor Peter Ill is our pastoral delegate from our circuit. So give us your enabled by our Lord for the work of our synod. Also, please sign up in the Narthex for Vacation Bible School. Invite the kids of your neighbors and friends and co-workers to come. Note that there's no midweek Bible study this week, so a week from Wednesday, those studies will continue. Please fill out a biographical information sheet back in the Narthex. We'd like to have one of those to update our church records for each individual, and is also helps us as part of a demographic study that we're doing in preparation for a long-range planning. Ed Cimaroli is back in the hospital, and we want to include him in our prayers today. Are there any other announcements that should be made? Robin.
We have only 6 more opportunities for anyone in this wonderful group of saints to help teach our little ones Sunday school this summer. The dates and the packets are attached to the Sunday school bulletin board. The sign-up is in the Narthex. So if you haven't had that opportunity, thank you, Sarah. And I've got a packet in your mailbox. But everything you need to teach is in that packet. And it's easy and it's fun. These kids are amazing. Despite their young age, they will rock you. So I encourage you to do that and take a look at the dates that we have available and the dates that we have left for you to take the opportunity.
And these are the little tykes that will...
Our littlest ones, and they really are, they're amazing. They will teach you things that you didn't know you needed to know.
Anything else? Greet one another in the peace of our Lord. We ask our Lord's blessing on our worship this day and know that he will bless us as he comes to us in his word, in his supper, to cast out demons and strengthen us to resist the temptations of those demons in our lives.
Thank you. The Divine Service, sitting 2, page 167.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may kneel or sit for confession. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Child, I cry.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Where is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God? Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation, blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Cast out all our sins and evil desires from us, and pour into our hearts your Holy Spirit to guide us into all blessedness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Today's first reading is from the book of Isaiah, the 65th chapter. Thus says the Lord, I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here am I, here am I, to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh, and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are the smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their bosom, your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills, I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servant's sake and destroy them all. I will bring forth I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We now continue with Psalm 3, preprinted in the bulletin. O Lord, how my foes, how many rise up against me?
Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him.
But you are a shield around me, O Lord.
You are a glory on me and lift up my head.
To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill.
I lie down to sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me.
I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side.
Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God.
Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked.
From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Today's epistle reading is from the book of Galatians, the third chapter. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we may be justified by faith. But now, that faith has come. We are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time could come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. They, that is, Jesus and his apostles, sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Then Jesus asked him, What is your name? And he said, Legion, for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and the country. Then people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is the gospel for the day from Luke chapter 8. You may wish to pull out your insert. We'll go through it verse by verse through the sermon. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So the text seems to be about this man who is possessed by demons, which seems pretty irrelevant to most of us. There's not a single person here that I can tell that spends their time living naked in a cemetery like that guy. And yet this text isn't just about him. It's about demons and about Jesus and about you, which is why we take a closer look at it. the apostles, sailed to the country of the Gerasenes. By the way, they're sailing across the Sea of Galilee. In the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, when Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he'd worn no clothes, and he'd not lived in a house, but among the tombs. Ever met anybody possessed by a demon? Maybe not, but they exist. Some of you have seen the movie The Exorcist, and while they may have taken some liberties with the details, it's based on a real story that happened in St. Louis. Demons are all around. Demons are angels, not holy angels. They're evil angels. God made them holy, good, but some of the angels rebelled, led by one named Satan, Lucifer. And these demons want you to suffer in hell with them because they know they're going to suffer in hell for all eternity. That's why they're hard at work in the world, as hard now as they were 2,000 years ago. When he, the demon, saw Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. I find this kind of ironic. The demons know who Jesus is, the Son of the Most High God. But if you're reading through Luke's gospel, the apostles at this point haven't figured out who Jesus is, what he's there for, what their relationship is with him. Sometimes we get confused about it too. The demons know. We humans are the ones who get it messed up. People notice that the Muslims worship one God. Christians worship one God. And the logical question is, well, maybe we worship the same God, just call him by different names. They call him Allah, we call him Yahweh. True? No. The Christian God teaches us to evangelize those who do not share our faith, not to murder them or behead them. And some will argue, well, that's only the radical Muslims. Most Muslims are people of peace, which might be a true statement. But their holy book, the Quran, explicitly tells them to kill all unbelievers. That's not the Christian God. The demons help us to understand. Isn't that ironic? The demons help us to understand even more that the Muslim God is not the Christian God. The demons say, "We know who you are. You are the Son of the Most High God." Muslims say, "Their God does not have a son." But the true God has a son, whom he sent into this world to save us. Quite clearly, this is not the same God. One is a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One is not. Demons understand that Jesus is God, but so many humans do not. It is our privilege to help them understand that. For many a time, the demon had seized the man. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. I find that kind of scary, especially when you realize this really happens to people. Aren't you glad you've never been possessed? But you have been possessed. Maybe not quite in the same way this man was. Demons controlled his body. Demons controlled your soul, which is even worse. Proof? Well, parents, did you teach your children to be selfish? Did you teach them to throw fits, to scream? To want their own way? No. They do that naturally because demons have control of their nature. And all of our natures at birth. This is why my parents brought me to be baptized, because they knew I was possessed. Because they knew that I was born an unbeliever. It's why I brought my children for baptism. It's why they brought their children for baptism. It's why so many of you bring your children for baptism. You know, the devil has sway over them. but you also believe God's promise that by water and his word, he makes children of the devil into children of God, which is precisely what Paul calls each one of us. He says, in Christ, today's epistle, you are all sons of God, children of God. Now, how did you get to be in Christ and so get to be children of God? Paul tells us that too. In your baptism, it connected you with Christ that overpowers Satan. Does this mean now, oh, good, you're baptized, you'll never be attacked by the devil again or by any of his demons? No, it does not mean that, quite the opposite. Baptism marks you as one who has been claimed by God, redeemed by Jesus, taken from Satan, and there is no way that the demons are going to stand by and let that happen without fight. For the rest of your life, they will continue to torment you. They will continue to tempt you. They will continue to plant doubts in your mind about your God. They will continue to try to convince you that you do not need to learn God's word, that you do not need to be with your brothers and sisters who also have been delivered from demons, that you do not need to pray to your heavenly Father. And I want you to understand that not only are the demons attacking... Hello, James. Not only are the demons attacking you, they are also attacking your children. This is why it is absolutely essential that you continue to bring your children to the Lord's house, that you remind them that they are baptized, that you assure them that they are God's children and that they are heirs who have waiting for them the everlasting riches of our Heavenly Father. The demons are never going to stop working against you or against your children. This is why we need to know that Jesus is more powerful than the demons. And we find it out right here. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter. They begged him to let them enter these, and so he gave them permission. And then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. You'll notice that these demons are not stupid. They understand that Jesus is stronger than they are. Whatever he says, they do. When they want to do something so simple as to possess pigs, they still have to come to Jesus and ask permission. Jesus is clearly the one who is in charge. Demons against Jesus are kind of like me playing chess against somebody who actually understands the game. I play the game, and I know I'm going to lose unless, well, I keep playing, hoping against hope that they'll make some really, really, really stupid mistake. Or it'll probably take several really stupid mistakes. This is what the demons do. They know God is more powerful than they are, but they keep right on going, hoping against hope that God will make some stupid mistake, and then he does. He sends his son into this world, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem us who are under the law. He makes his son a human, which means his son can be killed. His son can be crucified. They work to crucify him. They succeed in crucifying him. If this were a chess game, they just captured our king. Once Jesus, the only one who can protect us, the only one who's more powerful than Satan, once he's gone, we've got no hope against them. And I'm kind of guessing that down in Satan's domain after Jesus was dead, they had, and I think this is an apt description, one hell of a party until Easter morning when Jesus crashed that party. And I picture him knocking on the door and saying, not to interrupt your celebration or anything, just wanted to let you know I'm not dead anymore. And by the way, you cannot have any of these people for whom I died. Do you know what Satan's real power against you is? It's not being able to possess your body. Because the demons know that God can cast them out of even unbelievers anytime he wants. This story proves it. Satan's power, the demon's power against you, is in being able to accuse you in God's courtroom of breaking God's law, because God has to punish lawbreakers. And you've disobeyed God repeatedly. So what do? Repent and believe that Jesus has taken your conviction for you, that he has served your death sentence in your place. And now all the demons in the world can appear before God in his courtroom on judgment day and say, "Your Honor, look at all the ways that these people have broken your laws." And God will say, they've never committed a single crime against me, because it was all charged to Jesus while he was hanging on the cross. When the devil or his demons begin to torment you, put them in their place. Remind them and yourself what Jesus has done for you. Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I'm not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled. And against your tyranny, God, my Lord, unites with me. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country, and the people went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Isn't that what happens today to people? They see and realize Jesus' power, and they react sometimes the way we do to Satan. They are afraid of him because they know that he's stronger than they are. Dear Christians, do not be afraid of God's power. It is being used for you, not against you. Now, if you don't believe in Jesus, there's nothing you should fear more in this life than God's wrath and power. There's nothing that should terrorize you more than the day of judgment that is coming. But you have been given faith that believes in Jesus. You know his power is being used for you, not against you. His power is being used to cast demons out of you, to put faith into you. His power is being used to make you his child, to give you his forgiveness, to raise your body from the dead, and to take you forever to be where he is forever. Do not be afraid of that power. It is not being used against you on Judgment Day, but for you. And those who had seen it told how the demon-possessed man had been healed. And all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home. Declare how much God has done for you." And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. I'm pretty sure that everybody in that little town was quite aware of that strange and scary man out in the cemetery. So when the pig herdsmen show up and start talking about what has happened, this is huge news. And they speak about how the man is healed. It's interesting that the word they used for healed also means saved, as in rescued from a perilous situation that you can't rescue yourself from. Like if somebody is dangling over the edge, holding onto the ledge 10 stories up of a building, about to fall with nothing between him and the ground, and he's lost his grip, he's falling, he's dead. And then he looks down and realizes the first responders have just showed up with a net to catch him below. He's saved. You are saved. When it seemed that the demons had you conquered, Jesus comes and conquers the demons. This is what he did for that man. And how did he respond? Well, that man wanted to be with Jesus every moment of every day. Any right-thinking Christian wants to be with Jesus right now in heaven, every moment of every day where there is no problems anymore. But Jesus says to that man and to us, not yet. Because there are still people in this world who are afflicted by demons. And we are the ones he uses to care for them and to bring the message to them that Christ has conquered the devil and all of his minions. And so he doesn't say, come up and be with me. He says, I'm going to come and be with you. And until I bring you to be with me, I'm going to be right there where you are. In fact, I'm not going to just dwell with you. I'm going to dwell in you. Eat my body, drink my blood, receive my life, and know that I am in you. I am possessing you. And I have no intention of letting any demon have you ever again. How then do you respond? Well, how about like the man who was saved? One or two of you might be called someday to serve your Lord in some distant land, to serve the one who has cast demons out of you. Young people, consider, your Lord might be calling you to the mission field, perhaps as a pastor or a deaconess, perhaps as a layperson. You know, Pastor Ernst went to Venezuela as a layperson, God ended up, and he was serving as a missionary. And then he ended up as a pastor, still a missionary. Different work, but doing God's work. Some of you may be called to that, but most of us are going to be called the same place that this man was called. Did you catch where Jesus sent him? Not to some faraway land. He sent the man home. You're sent home to tell your family what great things God has done for you, to speak in the city where you live about the God who takes people possessed by demons and makes us people possessed by God. That man went home and told the whole city, Luke says, what Jesus had done for him. Dear Christians, every day of your life, emulate his example. Because this Bible passage isn't just about that man who was afflicted. It's about demons, and even more about Jesus and what he's done for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for the Nicene Creed, page 174. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. For peace in the world, for peace in the church, for peace in our homes, and for peace in our lives, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of the divine pardon and for the renewal of our hearts, that we may love the Lord with all that we are and all that we have. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. For Phil, Cole, Scott, Sherry, and all of God's baptized people, that because we have been rescued from demons, we live with peace, true repentance, confidence in Christ, good works, and a readiness to declare the saving works of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Lutherans throughout the world, for our upcoming Synod Convention for St. Mark, Zion, Hope, and Zion congregations, for the faithfulness of all churches to God's holy word, and for each of us as we proclaim in our homes and communities how much Jesus has done for us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. For Eric, with our gratitude for his work among us, and with our plea that Christ will guide him, bless him, and use him to impact both church and society, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations and those who govern them, for our own country and leaders, for our cities and communities, for good laws and faithful citizens, for a changed understanding of marriage and life in our society, and for the common welfare for us all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. For seasonable weather, for an end to rain, for the fruitfulness of the earth, for honest industry and labor, for wisdom to use God's resources well, and for generous hearts that give back to our Lord from what he has given to us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor and those in need, for the unemployed and the underemployed, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. For the sick and those who suffer, for the grieving, for those enduring mental illness, and for the dying in their last days on earth, especially for the family of Ty, and for Ed, Nina, Sharon, Gloria, Charles, Jeremy, Matt, Tara, Barb, Ellis, Sherry, Kathy, Alvin, Jeanette, Herbert, Parker, Reagan, Ingrid, the Martinez family, Mel, and Jeanette. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who care for the sick, and those who attend to the dying, for those who provide child care, for police, firefighters, emergency medical personnel, and disaster relief workers, and for all who travel, including Debbie and her group serving Christ in Turkey, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. For women with child, for safety in childbirth, for children in foster care, for the preservation of all life from conception to life's natural end, for Dana and Brenda, Jody and Aaron, Darren and Courtney, Ron and Rose, and for all who are married, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With praise and thanks for the witness of Elmer and all the saints, and with our prayer that God grant us readiness for Christ's return or a blessed death and fellowship with those who have gone before, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Grant these requests, gracious Father, along with all our needs of body and soul. We pray in the name of the Son of the Most High God, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We stand to sing the offertory, page 176. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of
Son of the Most High God, who has conquered the demons for you, has come yet again to possess you.
Yes, Father, with his blood, go
in his peace.
Sinner, come to thee.
Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good.
justly and gladden. My soul, there I am now thy guest. Lord, may I walk in thy light.
The Son of the Most High God, who has conquered the demons for you, is coming in to possess you with his body and his blood. Go to his place.
The covenant of hope and grace. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest
shine, you people. Of evil reeling, he brings us freedom, life, and light, and healing. All men and women who by him come,
thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen.